Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Brigadier General John Ferrari, Director of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the Office of the U.S. Army's Deputy Chief of Staff. General, what innovative approaches have you developed to meet your mission, and to what extent does your work involve and support unconventional thinking, daring ideas, and bold solutions?
Right. So the American soldier is probably the most innovative, and it is a long history of innovation, right? The American soldier takes whatever we bought for them 5, 10, 15 years ago. We send them out, and they take what we give them and figure out how to do the job, right? And so innovation is really about doing something differently with what you have today. And if you think about what we talked about in the Army operating concept, we're essentially saying we're going to send small groups of people all over the world in an expeditionary manner. We're not really sure what you're going to do when you get there, but you're going to have to figure it out, right? So in the Army culture operationally, right, we are built on innovation. And in the Army, we don't call it innovation, right? We call it mission command, right, which is we give you intent, we give you resources, and then we send you on your way, and you've got to figure it out within that within those parameters. So how do we do that within the bureaucracy, right, which is I think what you were trying to get at when you're trying to do change, right? So it's very hard because, right, the definition of a bureaucracy is it's set up to do the same thing over and over again. It's not that people are bad in a bureaucracy, right? But the rules and regulations and everything, the whole process is set up to be repeatable over and over and over again. So it tends to want to squash outliers in innovation because it's trying to do something repeatable. So one of the things we're trying to do in the programming process is to be much more transparent with how we do resources and bringing in more people to help us. And that's in planning and programming. And so we reach out within the programming, we bring the commands in our subordinate organizations to help them allocate the resources. Within the planning, we work with a lot of the think tanks and a lot of outside organizations to try to help us sort through the type of army we should have, where resources should go. And we're trying to tighten up the feedback loop. So that execution phase, what's happening in the world today? Because gone are the days where, hey, for the next 5 years, right, you don't really need feedback from today to adjust because 5 years from now is going to be like today. Things are changing so fast in technology and funding and operations. We're really trying to tighten that feedback loop so that we can adjust the program to meet the innovation that's occurring and to encourage that type of innovation.
General, I talk to many of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnership among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us more about how you're leveraging partnerships to improve operations and outcome, and to what extent can collaboration and partnership drive innovation?
So collaboration and partnership is fundamentally a human interaction. Not about processes and it's not about technology. And so one of the things we try to do is to get our soldiers and our civilians out into, you know, in the military, we call it the real world, right? So in the functional area, those operations research that I talked about, right? So we bring in about 40 or 50 new people a year. And what we wind up doing, not particularly those who come in, but co-committing with that, we take about 28 of them and we send them either to graduate school, places like Carnegie Mellon, North Carolina, Naval Postgraduate, where they're exposed to that and they build those networks and relationships. Or we do training with industry, where we send them to work with places like IBM and Verizon and Gallup. And so they're learning and networking and getting those partnership and the collaboration and see how things work in other places. And then we bring them back and they come with them with their network. And we do the same thing with broader in the Army with a lot of the think tanks here in D.C. or nonprofits where we'll send 30 or 40 senior people off for a year to work with them. And so what you're doing is you're sending them out. And then what I tell them is when they come back, I need them to think differently. I need them to bring back a different lens to see the Army. Because in the Army education system, right, we train people and we educate them. They tend to come, right, they'll have a similar view of the world. What you try to do through these partnerships and collaborations is, A, get your people to see the world differently so you don't develop a tunnel vision. But also then, you're a lot more comfortable to bring in outsiders into your organization to drive change if you've been with them and understand them and don't view them as outsiders, right? So the more we get people involved with the think tanks, with other militaries, with other cabinet departments, with private industry, they're more likely to bring people in and go, hey, you know, I got this problem because I know you now. You're not an outsider, and I'll bring you in and show you my problem set, which most organizations really are not interested in doing. But that's then what enables you to get a wide range of views of how to fix things. And that's what we're trying to do, especially in areas we don't have a lot of expertise, cyber being one of them. We are very open to helping that area in innovation.
So, General, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organizations will encounter in the future? And how do you envision your group evolving to meet those challenges and seize those opportunities?
Right. So within PA&E, the organization I see, the major challenge we're going to have in the next couple of years is getting smaller. The Secretary of Defense, Secretary Hagel, directed, and then the Secretary of the Army and the Chief of Staff of the Army reinforced that the headquarters organizations are all going to shrink by about 20 or 25%. And so my organization is going to go from 70-plus people down into the 50s over the next 4 or 5 years. And how do we keep the talent that we want? How do we manage the attrition? How do we reorganize? Because while we're doing that, it's not like somebody's going to say, well, what I don't want you to do is this, right? I still have to build a program, be the authoritative database, defend the program, and provide independent analysis. Fundamentally, that means that I have to look differently. And so we're working through how we do that. And then it's really a further fundamental shift and even more empowerment of the people you have, because they're all going to have larger responsibilities and scope of efforts, and they can't be waiting on the leadership to tell them what to do. So how you set up that organizational culture and the organizational structure to enable you to do that job is, for me personally, over the next couple of years, you know, my biggest challenge. For the Army writ large, it continues to be the how do you make the Army smaller with fewer dollars yet maintain an incredibly aggressive global engagement? Because we're not just rotating into Iraq and Afghanistan anymore. Really, we've got to figure out the fundamental challenge for the Army in the next couple of years is how do you rotate and how do you meet the requirements in Europe, right, for the Russian deterrence? How do you meet the requirements in the Middle East for the counterinsurgencies in Afghanistan, in ISIS, and in Africa, really? So it's the Middle East and Africa. How do you meet the requirements in the Pacific to deter and to conduct engagement? And so between the Pacific, Europe, and then the Middle East and Africa, you've got a day job that will keep the military busy, but you've also got to be prepared for major combat operations. And so how do you balance all of that, the reduced fiscal environment, the downsizing of the civilian and military workforce, with all of those ongoing operations, yet still be ready to go for the major combat operations when they occur? So that's what the Army leadership is wrestling with. And then they rely on the talented military and civilian people in the headquarters to give them the range of options for what turns out there's no good choices, right? So that's one of the challenges I've got, right? So when I go to the leadership, I'm not bringing them good things. We're trying to figure out what's the best of the worst options they have. What's the least worst option that they can choose? That's the environment we live in. And when you're responsible for providing the assessment in that, often, right, that doesn't make you the sunniest person in the room.
I'd like to get your advice. What advice would you give someone who is considering a career in either public service or more particularly military service?
Right. So for anyone, and in particular in people in America, right, democracy only works when talented people are involved in it. And service is not just military service. It's service to government and to the people of the country at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, at whatever level it is. It's teachers, it's firemen, it's service in the bureaucracies that are much maligned, right, but are enormously important to everything we do. And so it takes a lot of work and a lot of maintenance to make this experiment called America work. And we're all part of it and we're all responsible for it. And so my message to everybody is you've got to participate. And if you don't participate in it, and it's not pretty, and it was never meant to be, but it is our birthright and our system of government, it only works if everybody participates and everybody's respectful of everybody else, and we will eventually get to the right decisions.
Brigadier General John Ferrari, I want to thank you for joining us today and participating in our show. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much. And really, it's those brave soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and the family members and the communities that support them, enable them, that deserve the thanks. And they're out there around the world today serving. So they're the ones that need the thanks.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Brigadier General John Ferrari, Director of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the Office of the U.S. Army's Deputy Chief of Staff. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.